Now, in the second jhana, the mental activity, the discursive mental activity, which was one of the characteristics of the first jhana, this disappears. This fades away with increased concentration. So therefore, the second jhana is a state of no thought. When one speaks in terms of no thought, people often become a little afraid. They think that one almost ceases to exist when there is no thought. But it must be emphasized that there is simply no discursive mental activity. But at the same time, one is fully awake, one is aware, one is conscious. In fact, one's whole consciousness, one's whole being is heightened. If anything, you're more alert, more awake, more aware than you normally are. So even though the discursive mental activity fades away, even though the mind is no longer active in that sense, but still a clear and pure, a bright state of awareness is experienced. One doesn't go into a sleepy state, one doesn't go into a coma, one doesn't go into a sort of trance, nothing of that sort. And of course, in the second jhana also, one's psychophysical energies become still more concentrated, still more unified, with the result that the pleasurable sensations of the first jhana persist, both the mental ones and the physical ones. Now, in the third jhana, another change takes place. You notice in passing from the first to the second jhana, discursive mental activity is eliminated. Now, in passing from the second jhana to the third jhana, it is the pleasurable physical sensations that disappear. The mind is blissful, but consciousness is increasingly withdrawn from the body, and these pleasurable, even blissful sensations are no longer experienced in the body or with the body, because consciousness, because awareness, is being withdrawn from the body. In fact, in this stage, bodily consciousness may be very peripheral indeed. It's as though you're conscious of your body a great way away, right on the periphery of your experience, not right on your own doorstep, as it were, as is usually the case. The other factors that remain in the third jhana as before, except that they are still further intensified. Now, in the fourth jhana, another change occurs, or rather, the change occurs in order to make it possible for the fourth jhana to be experienced, and that is that in the fourth jhana, even the mental experience of happiness disappears. Not, of course, that one becomes unhappy or uneasy in any way, but in the fourth jhana, the mind passes beyond pleasure and pain. And this is something which is rather difficult for us to understand. We can't help thinking of a state which is neither pleasure nor pain as being a sort of neutral grey state, rather lower than either pleasure or pain. But it isn't like that. In the fourth jhana, the mind passes beyond pleasure, beyond pain, beyond even the mental bliss of the previous jhanas, and it enters a state of what is called equanimity. And if one can be paradoxical, one may say that the state of equanimity is even more pleasant than the pleasant state itself. But of course one can't say that it's more painful than the painful state. It doesn't work quite like that. It is something even more deeply satisfying, put it in that way. It's sort of a positive peace, which is even more blissful than bliss itself. And in this stage of the fourth jhana, of course, all one's energies, the total energies of one's being, are fully integrated, so that this jhana, the fourth jhana, is a state, is a stage of perfect mental, perfect spiritual harmony and balance and equilibrium.